San Francisco 49ers deep in the heart. Like Joe Montana in the corner, D Clark. Garrison Hurst, Stiff Farm going 99. Don't get it twisted, one and all with prime time. John Taylor, Jerry Rice down the side.
It's the 49er Faithful UK show. Just because it ended badly, it isn't necessarily fair to judge or value the entire season on just one game, even if it is the Super Bowl and actually it is the only game that really counts. But it was quite a season. Bit of a roller coaster, lots of excitement, some memorable wins, and hopefully a load of good positives to take into the next season and seasons beyond. I'm Gareth Ellis, and much happier than last time is Paul Gowland. Paul Gowland, Paul Hope.
What's up, Paul?
Start the show.
Lee Gowland.
Yeah, you completely threw us there, Gareth. Hey, mate.
Good. And Edgy Carrar.
Hello, everyone. What an intro.
Yeah, my shorthand notes. So, lads, feeling a bit more positive. Let's look back at the season, because once again, it's been a good time to be a 49ers fan. I think, you know, we might be disappointed, but, you know, there's a look around the league at some of the dumpster fires and what those fans must be saying, and some of the ones without much hope. So, small comfort, but comfort nonetheless. We started the season pretty well. 5-0, wins over the Steelers, the Rams, the Giants, the Cardinals, and the Cowboys. How were you? Can you remember how you were feeling this time of the season, way back in whenever it was, mid-October?
Relief, I think.
Relief?
No? Yeah, because we forget this, but, you know, Brock was injured, and there was no guarantee he was going to be the same Brock that we had when we finished the season, and that his elbow was going to last. Or, you know, we knew he was going to be all right for a bit, but we didn't know it was going to last, and his elbow was fully repaired and all that stuff. So, you know, when he started slinging it and we started winning games, and he played really, really well, and it was very much relief. Yeah. And, you know, because we made the right decision of trading Trey Lance and keeping down Alden. You know, it feels like it was a long time ago, but, you know, 8 months ago, we still had doubts about what kind of season was ahead. And, yeah, no, I think, yeah, relief, but also we knew we were going to win so many games.
Well, so that's the thing. That's why I was quite surprised you said relief. I mean, thinking back to the predictions that we all made and how we're going to start the first half of the season, end the second half of the season, I think I had us down to basically lose our very first game in week 13. And that was against the Eagles. So, yeah, I mean, the start didn't really surprise us. Relief. I think there probably was a little bit of relief there that Brock Purdy didn't have any lasting effect from the injury. But the first three games, I think, were typical first three games of the season. Even though the score suggests we kind of dominated teams, it didn't look fluid. We kind of almost tripped over ourselves to win those games a little bit. It didn't fill you full of confidence like you thought it might for a start like that. It wasn't until basically week 5 against the Cowboys when we suddenly dominated the team. Nobody expected us to do that. And we all started thinking, well, actually, you know what? We look really, really good here. This could be something. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals, we give them a bit of a spanking, but let's face it, they were a bit of a dumpster fire. So beating them like 35-16 at the time, it didn't come as much of a surprise. For me, the standout game of the first five has got to be the Giants game, purely because it was on my 50th birthday. So I'll always have memories from that. Again, I mean, we beat them by 18 points, and it wasn't particularly a convincing, comfortable game. No. At times, I did think the Giants were able to stop the offense. Obviously, they only came away with 12 points, so didn't really do much on offense themselves. But yeah, I mean, that was a standout game for me. It's got to be in that. To be honest, that's probably going to live in my memory more than the Goldmine game.
Wow.
Purely because I did something stupid, like flew out on the Wednesday morning, flew back home on the Saturday morning, purely so I could be there on my birthday. But yeah, I think 5-0 to start the season. I was expecting that before the season, even knowing that Brock would have to come back and prove himself again. So I was quite pleased with that. And I think that Cowboys game set us all up for such a huge fall for what was to come. Paul, what about you? What do you think of the first five games?
I think Nagy said it well there with the relief. You forget this time last year, a lot of the content creators, ourselves, Tommy John surgery, Brock Purdy, we were analysing everything. And you forget it took 2.5 minutes for Brock Purdy to throw the first of his two touchdown passes to Brandon Ayuk. And you were thinking, am I right here? Has this kid had surgery? And he just dusted it off. I mean, you said we didn't dominate Lee. We leapt out to a 20-0 lead against the Steelers and we were 223-1 over the yardage. I think we were 27-7 at half time. And when I've watched the highlights back, Gareth, of each game preparing for tonight, you forget how good Christy McCaffrey really was at the start of the season. Some of the players added in to Brock Purdy easing back in. And you were going to mention that Giants game, Lee. And we were talking about the awards that we're going to look at. You forget how good Deebo Samuel was good early on in the season. I wasn't surprised, Gareth, that we leapt to a 5-0 lead. I was like, Lee, I think me and Lee called for a 21-0 undefeated season, like we always do. So to be 5-0, I wasn't surprised. I mean, the Rams, let's face it, going for that field goal was a bit cheeky just for the over-under. The New York Giants. What Lee meant to say, Nadji, is Ronnie Bell's touchdown in that game will live long.
Oh, yeah, of course. I forgot about that.
That was the highlight for Ronnie. He peaked on El Presidente's birthday.
Yeah.
But the Dallas game, let's face it, any time you smash the Cowboys in prime time on national TV, and go back and watch that game, it was an absolute demolition. We should have really got 50. I think you said that at the time, Nadja. I remember doing the review afterwards and you were like, disappointed because we didn't get 50. And I was thinking, beat the Cowboys 42-10. Then I went back and watched the stuff today and I was like, there were some missed opportunities in that game.
Yeah.
50 burger on them. But I think what Lee's alluding to, we were all high, weren't we, Lee, going to London? Joe Staley, week 6.
Yeah.
We all thought this is going to go. But no, I was quite impressed with the start, Gareth, up until that Cleveland game, which we'll get onto in a moment.
Yeah. I think it was the start perhaps we expected. I think we started better. I had Stan for losing that Steelers game just for having that slow start that we have had before. I thought, yeah, we're picking this up. I don't think there was much of the emotional roller coaster in any of those games. I think we won all of them comfortably, from what I recall. I don't remember sort of feeling hugely under pressure like we were going to lose any of those games at any point. It was just going to be a question of how big is the victory going to be on any of those games. And I think you're right that we had a certain amount of confidence after smashing the Cowboys in prime time that led us into the middle part of the season. The 0-3 stretch, which again, that seems like a long time ago now. The loss in Cleveland, a loss to Minnesota, and a loss to Cincinnati, where I think, I'll start on this. I thought the Cleveland had a good game plan. They brought us down to their level, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. They made us play their game. Of course, Brock marched us down the field. Moody missed the field goal at the end, and you put it down as one of those 50-50 games on the road. It's, you know, you win, you lose some. But then the Minnesota one was where certainly I started feeling there's something wrong with the team. There was something wrong about the way we were playing, particularly defensively. I think there was, obviously, as we've seen how the season's panned out, there were potentially some warning signs in that game about difficulties that the defense was going to experience later. And obviously, we thought, that's all right, we can get over that. And then Cincinnati, we showed that we couldn't, and we got beaten again by a good team, but a team that wasn't actually playing its best football and was struggling with injury. And obviously the bye week followed that up at week 9 and came at a good time. Memories of the sticky patch in the middle of the season, lads. Let's start with Paul.
When I think back to the Cleveland Brown game, I know people will be cursing because we lost, and I know you weren't with us, Nadji, but you go on this emotional roller coaster of being a Niners fan. That watch party was unreal. It was packed to capacity. And when your boy Jordan Mason ran that touchdown in that G, like he broke through, Joe Staley bear hugged me, was high-fiving me, and I thought, how am I ever going to get better than this? Which we did, which I'll get into later. Like you said, Gareth, the Browns game, there was a lot of Purdy haters came out the woodwork because we'd smashed the Cowboys in our greatest ever game at Levi's in the regular season. And we thought, this kid's MVP. And then the Purdy haters were like, I can't win in the rain. He can't win in the wind. And you go back and watch that game, 1917, and Brock marched us up the field. Now, Jake Moody missed the field goal. PJ Walker came out with it with all the flowers. But I'm like you, the Vikings game, Monday night football, daft o'clock in the morning in the UK. I think the turning point was when Kirk Cousins threw that ball at just before half time. Javarius Ward had the pick. I was about to leap up and celebrate at whatever time in the morning it was. And then the receiver's running the other way. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then you think, right, okay, we could two in a row. And then the Bengals game. I think Najee's been high on Joe Burrow since he came into the league. But that was the first time witnessing Joe Burrow. 283 yards, three touchdowns. And that set the bar of what you want an elite quarterback to look like. And I did think after that Bengals game, we might have our job on the pod here, lads, because we've been quite so positive. But when you've gone 0-3, I think the bye week actually came at the right time for us. What do you reckon, Lee? Do you think that was the bye week was just right this year?
Yeah, it probably did. But when I look back at those three losses, the Cleveland Browns and the Vikings, we didn't particularly play bad. I mean, Kirk Cousins had arguably his best game he's ever played. And it had to be against us, typically. And then the next week, he's off for the rest of the season. You know, you just can't make it up. I thought we played reasonably okay against the Cleveland Browns. Their defense were unbelievable. It was always going to be tough going up against them, but we thought we'd get the win because Deshaun Watson wasn't playing. They had the quarterback that nobody'd even heard of. And obviously, we were all on a high after beating the Cowboys. The Gowland Bowl against the Vikings, that did come as a bit of a shock. Like I said, I mean, Kirk Cousins, I thought he had an excellent game.
Yeah.
And what worried us most was because he played so good, I thought the quarterback chatter was going to start again about maybe he's picking him up this offseason with him being a free agent. But those two games in themselves, they didn't worry us too much because it's any given Sunday. The game against the Bengals, we were awful, absolutely awful. We were beaten hands down. It wasn't even close. I think getting 17 points against the Bengals on that particular game, I think that flattered us because we just stumped the place up in that game. And that was the first game where I started to have my doubts. So that one for me, and to be honest, going back to what Paul said, or it might have been what you said, Gareth, this is week 8. So we've played 7 games. Is that week 8? We've played 8 games. And up to that point, I always thought it doesn't feel the same with Wilkes as DC. So I can't it must have been the next game that he came down off the booth. But it just didn't feel the same. We were doing some crazy stuff on defense and we were getting torched on big players. And I think that went throughout the whole season. We gave up some big players pretty much once a game. That was worrying because we'd come off two stellar DCs who you had every confidence in. And yet, I know what you're probably thinking. I think the first years for both Salah and Ryan's, or the first year for Salah indeed, we thought, oh, maybe he's not up to this. But then he picked up and he was great. Ryan's was maybe the first 3 or 4 games where we had a little bit of doubt, but then that picked up. So it kind of gave you confidence that Wilkes is going to pick up. It's only been 8 games. It's his very first season as DC at San Francisco. He's going to pick up. Well, it's all history now. We know what it was like. But yeah, I mean, those 3 games, you look at how we played, how the defense played in particular, and it did set alarm bells ringing.
I think what do you think, Najee? I think on that Bengals one, Najee, before you say, I think with the Wilkes thing, that's when Najee called for Wilkes to come out of the booth. And you remember,
yeah,
19 consecutive completions to Joe Burrow, and that soft zone defense was when we'd had enough. And I think at the time, Najee came on, and his three talking points were out of the booth, out of the booth, out of the booth.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think it was very ominous, that stretch. And from everything we've heard recently, obviously with the firing, and it's not even the secondary, because I think a secondary played pretty well this season with, you know, 22 picks leading the league. But we just couldn't generate pressure. And if you can't generate pressure against Joe Burrow or Kirk Cousin, you're going to be in trouble, no matter who you are. And it showed, and definitely maybe the bye was the right time. But the problem is we kind of fixed the problems and then kind of forgot about them, and I think it bit us back at the worst possible time, eventually led to his demise. And I think it was more of a scheme thing and a personal thing. Like, he's a defensive back coach, and that's why it happened, especially in those games. I mean, yeah, we didn't really have a chance against the Bengals. They played really well that day. It was a short week, because we did play Monday night and then we played Sunday. Shortish week. I wasn't particularly worried. It was just, it's good to get slapped around the face and find problems, because then it gives you something to do, to fix, to get better. Had we gone to the bike 8-0, we might have had those problems later, and it could have been worse for us in terms of, you know, playoff run or anything, shattering confidence, and you don't have the time to kind of work on something. So, yeah, they came at the right time-ish. And, yeah, as you said, all of you, the Cleveland one was a toying course. We were away in, you know, the cold Cleveland, is windy, wet, whatever it was, and they had a great defense. They played really well. We played that game 10 times. We probably win it 6 or 7 times, I would imagine. And Minnesota was... yeah, bad luck, bad play call just before the half, which I think was the first strike to Wilkes, the all-out blitz. Even though he was right, and I kind of applauded for it, and yeah, you just don't take the chance, there's no point. So then Super Bowl, more on that later. It's football. You might lose some games very close. Or was it the Vikings a year or two ago that lost or won 9 games by 3 points? You know, sometimes that's why football is so good. You can just lose even though you play the best and they don't play really well and things go your way. That's not what happened then. But yeah, no, it was humbling to lose those games to those teams. Cleveland did make it to the playoff. I think Minnesota might have done at Kirk Cousins stayed. And same for Cincinnati. I think it's Joe Burrow stayed healthy. They probably would have made the playoffs. So, you know, good teams. And in the first stretch of the season, we played, you know, New York and Arizona weren't particularly good, and Dallas didn't show up. So it was, you know, it was, yeah. So it's going through the season, going through the motions, and going 20-0 is impossible. It's never been done. 74 they played. Yeah, 74 they played, 14 games plus 3. And so 17 games they won, the Dolphins. Very unlikely. So, yeah. Let's move on to the next batch where we just marched and destroyed everyone.
That's it. The bye week came at a good time.
I forgot to say. I think as much as it showed stuff on defense, it also showed why we need Debo and why Debo should be in conversation for offensive player of the year potentially. Because he was injured for those 3 games.
Yeah, that did coincide with some injured players.
And Trent as well.
And Trent. But the bye week came and went at a good time, and we followed that up with a cross-country trip to Jacksonville, where we absolutely destroyed them, 34-3, yeah. And followed it up with consecutive victories against Tampa Bay, Seattle on Thanksgiving with turkey at Lumen Field. Destroyed the Philadelphia, possibly breaking them for the rest of the season. Another win against Seattle at home, Arizona, and a win against Washington with 2 disappointing losses, 1 to Baltimore on Christmas Day and 1 pretty much a garbage time game from the start against Los Angeles to finish the season. So good end, a 12-5 finish. Thoughts from this one? We'll start with you then, Najee.
Well, I mean, this one is hard to not mention the gold mine, of course. What a game that Tampa Bay was. It's the perfect passer rating when we were over there. Yeah, it was. We just kind of showed we meant business, and you know, I always say good team should beat bad team in this league, and if you look at our schedule, that's pretty much what happened. Jacksonville just crumbled from that point on. Tampa Bay wasn't particularly good. Seattle definitely not. Philadelphia definitely not either. And it just needs to be shown that playing a good team, that's what happens to you. And then, yeah, I mean, the Baltimore game, I think it's one of those where sometimes you just need to not, like, let's not play today. Let's go back home. It's not our day. And it definitely wasn't Purdy's day. Luck wasn't in our side. Ball bounced exactly how they needed, and they took advantage of it, and they played really well, and we weren't ready for it. But, you know, we just took care of business and the right way, and we just got better and better and better taking care of the little things. I wish it was a bit of more of a challenge, because it might have shown the lack of defensive prowess that we needed to actually win the Super Bowl. And maybe us cruising to some of those wins might actually, with Wilkes now gone, he might have shown earlier and something else might have happened. But, it's hard to analyze those. Insight is so 2020. Good back end. You know, that's what we wanted to see, apart from the Baltimore game, obviously, which was a bit of a letdown on Christmas Day. But, that's what happens when you play superpower. Sometimes you lose, and we did.
Who's next? Lee?
Paul? Yeah, so the back end of the season, obviously, we went into Jacksonville, who were highly rated at the time, and we absolutely destroyed them. Mm. I think we all kind of thought we were going to absolutely destroy them, regardless of what their record was at the time. They were in a poo division. They hadn't really played anybody of note. It came as no surprise that we started back on the track to winning. As you said, Nadji, the Tampa Bay game, everybody will have memories of the gold mine in that game. It was a good game to watch as well. That eye touchdown right in the corner where we were at the gold mine, that was a wonderful touchdown to see. The Seattle game, Thanksgiving, That was great. I mean, for me, that was great purely because of the Seahawks family sat right in front of me when his little girl turned around and said, "Why can't we be 49er fans?" That just made the game for me, that did. And then going into Philly and smacking them down 42-19, it kind of answered the question, what would have happened if Brock Purdy hadn't gotten injured in the NFC Championship game? I think we would have definitely been in back-to-back Super Bowls, because we have had the best team over the last 2 years. Still believe that thoroughly. Obviously, Seattle came back into Levi's. It's now a customary win, which is a bit blasé to say that? No, I mean, we've only just missed out on back-to-back sweeps of the division. Yeah. Arizona Cardinals absolutely sweep them apart. Baltimore, again, I think that was a big eye-opener for people, but I said it at the time, and I still believe it now. You watch that game, and there's just something not right about the way we were calling plays. It just doesn't look right. It doesn't look like a 49ers game, and I'm going to stick by that, because I've watched the highlights a couple of times in that game, just to second-guess myself. And every time I've watched it, it just does not look like us. I can't put my finger on it. I mean, you can sit there and think, that's not our offense. So I've no idea what happened there. Absolutely no idea. But it's history now, and it didn't really impact us that much.
No.
Onto Washington. I actually thought Washington played a half-decent game that day. I didn't think there was a bad or a pushover as what we were expecting them to be.
Tied at the half, if I remember.
Yeah. They made us feel nervous part of that game through there. And then under the Lambs. And I'm always going to be disappointed when we get beat by them. I understood wanting to rest players. I think the only two or three that were really rested were Purdy, Williams, and CMC.
Yeah.
The others did have a series or two. I'm sure Debo played in that game for the first half. and everybody else did. I think there's only a few players that didn't play at all. But to come away and get beat by 1 point with Puka Nakor setting all sorts of rookie records in that game.
Yeah.
It was a little bit disappointing. So that kind of finished the season for us, the regular season. And what I was very surprised to see, and it kind of correlates a little bit with what Nagy said about Wilkes and how he'd improved the cornerbacks. So we ended up with 22 interceptions. Conversely, we only had 34 sacks compared to 44 sacks last season, and we arguably had a better defensive line by a long margin this season. So that's just goes to show where the problem was. Yeah. Rather than fix the problem with the cornerbacks without impacting the defensive line, he's tweaked the defensive line to help the cornerbacks, which has caused a different problem. So hopefully the next person who's coming in, or we've already got him, we've already promoted him from within, he can find a balance where the defensive line can play like they did under DeMeco Ryans, under Salah, and he fixes what's wrong with the cornerbacks, hopefully.
I think that's the plan. We'll talk about this at length in June. We've got nothing else to talk about.
Over to you, Mr. Hope. Or should I say Mr. Gowland? As you know.
I would say I've been called worse, but we're going to put some rumours out there. Oh, Paul Gowland. I mean, I would say it's well known that the gold mine was a highlight for me. I've done these shows with you lads in the past, and hearing you talk about going out to San Francisco and seeing a game live. But more about the gold mine later. Like you said, Nagy, Purdy posted a perfect passer rating just for us lot to be there.
Just for us,
It was the best 27-14 game I've ever watched, Lee. But I was thinking the Philadelphia game, was that my highlight? We destroyed them. Debo was on fire. And then I thought, Thanksgiving. I'm sure you'll all remember Sherman in the Seahawks eating that turkey leg at Levi's. Yeah. So for us to get our revenge, and also, chaps, if you cast your mind back to our little game, you know, not one that Lee took so seriously, the fact that Lee was at the stadium and I called that result perfectly.
Oh, you did. That's right.
Obviously.
That's right. Yeah.
That one stands out for me. But when you think back to the Jacksonville game, a lot of people jumped up and down when the Browns beat us. And I heard the same people saying Jacksonville were going to do the same. So the fact that we went in there, Chase Young showed why we traded for him. And it just seemed after the bye week, we'd made the right tweaks. And we all know Shanahan's teams tend to get better in the second half. Like you said, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay. And that stretch, Seattle, Philadelphia, Seattle, a lot of non-Niners fans, Nagy, were like, oh, tough for you, lads. And I think we were even like, we'll take a win in Seattle and maybe it's a loss at home, or we'll beat Seattle twice and we lose the Eagles. But the fact, we went into Philadelphia. We were up in Newcastle, Lee. Our good friend Andy, the Lions fan. And it was just, when I was putting my notes together, 6 meetups I had this year. I think I watched more games with you lot than I did at home. My Game Pass was a waste of money. And you just think of the memories, you go back for all those games. Nagy, you mentioned Samuel. I think he was our highest receiver for 5 of the games. Now that might sound, but you look at the weapons we've got. I think Ayuk had 5. The game against the Bengals that we lost, I'm looking here, McCaffrey went out injured and Purdy was our highest rusher. So it just goes to show you where the problems were. But I didn't put too much stock at the end of the season. It was all about getting that number 1 seed. The Rams game was annoying because at the time, the prediction of the league was neck and neck. And I thought, losing the bloody Rams, I wanted to see us sweep the division. But we went into the playoffs healthy, 12-5. That Ravens game, as you chaps have said, it was just the way the ball bounced. Yes, Purdy had 4 interceptions, but go back and watch that game. They're not all on Purdy. I think there's 1 which he's came out and said.
Yeah, the first one,
that was on me. Like you said, Lee, the Cardinals, they just get worse every time you watch the Cardinals play. But, you know, it's the Commanders game. Let's
enjoy it now whilst it lasts, because they are maybe going to get good at some point. That'll be annoying, but, you know.
Yeah. You got to think.
You know, overall, I think our schedule was pretty weak, I would say, this year. You know, playing the NFC East and the AFC South is maybe not the hardest schedule, but I mean, we just came out on top. You know, 12-5 is pretty good, especially considering injuries and how long the season is and all that. I think overall, this is the best season that I've seen us play. I mean, last year was really good too. You know, with the trade, then Jimmy, then Brock. Oh my God, who's this guy? Kind of thing. But now having like a full season of Brock, and this is what he can do, and just a little bit more consistency and tiny bit of luck on a couple of games, and not a rookie kicker, and we probably finish 15-2 or 14-3 or something like that. So, yeah, good season. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was super fun, and yeah, there were some hard losses, but overall, it's going to be hard to top a season like this. So I hope you all enjoyed it. It's, you know, it's not easy to do this every year.
Yeah, that's we can look at the season in a whole, but at the time, of course, it's just a series of one-off games that obviously build together to become the season that we've just had. But there was a lot of good memories in there, a lot of comfortable games. I remember a lot compared to the previous season where there was a lot of high heart rate games, a lot of bum squeakers. I seem to recall this being really quite comfortable for a lot of the time, just thinking we look in command of these games and going on to win it. And the games we didn't were ones we looked like we struggled pretty much from the off, like the Baltimore game, or just looked like it wasn't, like it's not going to be our day today, like Minnesota or Cleveland. But yeah, some good memories.
Kept that for the playoffs.
We'll come on to that. But certainly, I think you've touched on it. The Thanksgiving game, I think there was a bit of closure there. Seattle have had our number for the best part of a decade. I think that was a bit of a change there. But I think the game I probably enjoyed most was beating the Eagles. There was a bit of business there. They had not been, I think, particularly gracious winners in last year's NFC Championship game, given that they played a team without quarterbacks. And you would think that they've just beaten like the greatest NFC All-Stars team of all time. And so that's the one I can really say I enjoyed the most, really celebrating every score, every first down, every punt from the Eagles. I thoroughly enjoyed that game.
Every poke of a Domino's nose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, big dumb. Big dumb. I would disagree. I think I enjoyed the Dallas one a little bit more. Because I knew the
Eagles.
Each
to their own.
Weren't good anymore, and it was kind of I knew that was going to happen. But the Dallas one was pretty great because they just had no comeback, and we should have scored 50. So
you said it well there, Gareth. I mean, what people need to remember, it was hard, that loss. We didn't get it done. You said at the start of the show, every NFL fan comes in wanting their team in the Super Bowl. But I was watching the highlights of every touchdown we scored this year, and I'm smiling because you said the emotional rollercoaster wasn't there. And I'm sure everybody listening has their favourite game or their favourite touchdown for a number of reasons. And yeah, it was just, I'm still confident ahead of next season, which we'll get into. But just go back, you said Deebo Samuel off air, Nanji. You forget how good he really was. That game against the Eagles, the second touchdown when he kind of takes it behind the line of scrimmage and he cuts through that gap.
Straight.
It was untouched and he just runs straight in, and you think, I agree with you, Gareth. I think me and Mr. Gowland were celebrating that one rather loud up in Newcastle in the casino.
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, don't get me wrong.
It's personal choice, isn't it?
It's close. It's very close, though.
We should mention, obviously, number one seed, and then go into probably a little bit more difficult territory, looking back on the very recent two playoff games. I think we can see with a bit of hindsight there were some problems in both of those games. I think, remember we saying at the time, if we faced better or certainly more experienced teams, I think we're potentially losing both those games. They weren't the problems that we had in the Super Bowl, but they weren't convincing wins, either of them.
No, I think we got lucky that the NFC is somewhat weaker at the moment and at a turning point with, you know, Rodgers going to the Jets and kind of like the old guard and Brady retiring, all of that changing. I think we're at the right time and it did serve us. I mean, the Packers and Lions game, clearly we played Mike Tomlin and on any of these games, I don't think we win them because I don't think we played particularly well, especially in the first half of those games. But it's the playoffs, you know. Something to say about resting your QB and then having 2 weeks off and then watching wildcard, you know, from your couch and then seeing what's happening and then trying to play football. So that Packers game is probably always going to be that way, I think, if you have the first seed. I'm not a big fan of it. It was good because we needed CMC to be fit. And then the Lions game, I think, was a case of, oh, yeah, our D-line has got issues. And, yeah, it's a bit late to try and fix that now. But luckily, Brock and the team rallied, and what a game that was in the end for the ages. I think we'll all remember that one for a long time. But, yeah, playoff football, you know, I think the tiniest of margin starts showing a little bit more. And I think that's what I'm saying. If we had we been exposed, you know, by the Eagles in their stadium and lost that game because of their run game or something, we might have been like, oh, we need to do something about this. And I think it was a bit too late that we realized there was something wrong there. But what a team we have to be able to come back and nail those two games and win the way we did. It's pretty impressive. There's not many teams that can do that too. Not many QBs that can do that too. So,
yeah, I think the most pleasing thing about those two games was Brock Purdy getting the monkey off his back, about the fact that he couldn't come from behind and win a game. Obviously, fourth quarter comeback against the Green Bay Packers, and then a 17-point deficit against the Lions. Yes, we played pretty poor in the first half of both games. You could argue the Green Bay Packers, we played absolutely atrocious for the first three quarters and probably 2-3 minutes. We didn't kind of kick in until about 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and then we started playing football. So there was definitely something wrong. Could you put it on the defense? Could you put it on the offense? Could you put it on the coaching staff? And I'm not just talking about Steve Wilks, I'm talking about Shanahan as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're all valid questions. And something I've been dying to say since the end of the Super Bowl. To turn around and criticize Kyle Shanahan, and to also say he's the answer going forward, both can be correct.
Mm-hmm.
It can be Kyle Shanahan's fault that we lost the Super Bowl, but Kyle Shanahan can also be the person we need going forward. Both of those statements can be correct. Now, I'm not saying I believe Kyle Shanahan lost us the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that at all, because we've already done the Super Bowl review. And I've told you, I mean, we didn't play mistake-free football, and that contributed to it. So did the look of the bounce. When you have a team that recovers 6 out of 7 fumbles, you just know it's not your night.
It's not your night.
I mean, that's a crazy stat. 6 out of 7 fumbles. But yeah, I just wanted to put that out there, that it's okay to think that Kyle could have cost us a game, but also think he's still the answer going forward. Because at the end of the day, it's his roster. It's been built to play the type of football that he plays. So getting rid of Kyle Shanahan is going to set us back 2-3 seasons at least.
Oh, more than that, I think.
Yeah. Oof. And people say, oh, well, that's our window closed because we haven't got the cap space. Well, we do. We do. It's as simple as that. It increased by $10 million more than what anybody expected. We were all quite surprised about that. Parag will do some sort of wonders, or whoever replaced Parag, because he's full-time at Leeds United now. And I think we need to keep Shanahan there without a shadow of a doubt. But those three games, to me, prove that he's still learning as a head coach. He is. What is it, season 6 or season 7?
Seven.
He's still learning. And there's been some very good comparisons made about Andy Reid his career and what he's done now. And people think you learn so quick. Just go back to when you started work. You're coming out of school, coming out of college. You spend 3-4 years. Yes, you get a little bit of experience, but you're still inexperienced. Even with 3 or 4 years, you're still inexperienced. You still make mistakes. If you do not continue to learn over the whole course of your career, then you're going to regress. So I expect Shanahan to continue to go from strength to strength. That's what I expect. And I think calling time on him after 6-7 seasons, after the results he's given us, the games he's given us, yes, it's obviously about the end goal, but it's also about the journey and how you get there. And I think over the last few years, we've had a pretty a pretty good journey. We have. It's given us 100%. Memories that we'll talk about for years to come. I mean, we can go back to some of the games in the 90s. I mean, everybody talks about the fumble against the Giants, Roger Craig. But we also talk about that season, how good we were, how well we played, how we dominated teams, and that we should have been in the Super Bowl. And we should have been a three-peat champions that year. It doesn't stop people talking about those good games. And the fact that Shanahan hasn't won the big one yet doesn't mean we're not going to talk about some of these games that we've seen over the last 6-7 years. Maybe it's the first two seasons we'll forget all about those as the roster was turned around. But yeah, I think this is why I love the NFL. Yes, I was disappointed to come away from the Super Bowl with a loss. But then I look back at some of the games. The game at Seattle. So for me, going to the Giants game on my 50th birthday, I will always remember that. The Seattle game in Lumens Field, the actual play, and I know you're surprised I remembered this given how much I've been drinking that day, but the actual play that day, the performance, was unbelievable. To go into your nearest, not your nearest rival, I hate to call the Seahawks that, but to go into such an intimidating environment and dominate the team so much that you quieten the fans down. Not only do you quieten the fans down, but you got the kids turning around to the parents and saying, why can't we be 49er fans? To me, that was a statement game to go in there and do that. And again, that's why I love this game. The playoffs give us some great memories. The Detroit Lions, I was absolutely heartbroken at halftime. I'm not going to lie, I was absolutely heartbroken. My faithfulness had seeped out the bottom of my non-alcoholic Guinness. Luckily enough, I was able to pull myself around for the second half, and I did that with a fireball and a kind of work. And anybody who was still in the box that night, because they experienced how flat the atmosphere was at the end of the first half compared to what it was like at the end of the game, they'll never, ever forget that.
No.
Some of the pictures we saw from that night were unbelievable. And I'll keep on going back to the same image. And I talked to him about it on the Super Bowl meetup. Matt McDonald, he looked as though he was ready to pass out. He looked as though he was just about to hyperventilate. And then we scored. And to go from one emotion to the next, he was like a human firework going off with the emotions. And that's what it's all about. That's what the meetups are about. That's what the watch parties are about. It's just football like that. And it ramps up your emotions once you get to the playoffs. So if we get the playoffs next year, get the Super Bowl, lose another Super Bowl, I imagine we're still going to be talking about the games in the playoffs that got us there.
Yeah.
You gotta get there to win it. So you know, it's cool. You know,
your thoughts on the postseason?
I mean, my heart went out to Lee at the Lions game. It was the first meetup that I'd missed, so I had mixed emotions. Sat at home, me and Nadja were trying our best to keep spirits up in the Discord chat. Andy, who came on the show with us, Lions fan, you know, a good friend of mine. He's gone through the opposite emotion. He's texting me at half time. And actually, Lee, something you said about Shanahan, those people who criticise Shanahan for not being brave enough or aggressive enough in the Super Bowl, look at Dan Campbell. I was speaking to Andy tonight and he was still saying, why did Dan Campbell not kick that field goal? Why did he go for it? And the fine margins in the NFL, the Packers game, not going to lie, Gareth, my mate who loves Aaron Rodgers, the Packers have been quiet for 7 months, and then all of a sudden in the third quarter of that game, I started getting text messages, and I thought, we can't lose the bloody Packers. I still remember Brett Sinclair's face, because Lee Gowland's stream's about 8 seconds ahead of ours when the Drake Greenlight interception happened. I don't know whether Andrew has forgiven him or not, because I heard Lee from Middlesbrough, and he was up where he lived. And those memories like that you're talking there about, us four, how long we've been doing these podcasts, and we've become friends off this, and we meet up at the meetups to experience my first ever live game with you three. Like Lee said, that'll live long in the memory. It doesn't matter about the gameplay. I keep going back to the photo. There's a frame up there of the Golden Gate Bridge. And I'm going to get that photo
of us printed off and put in there, because that, for me, I still get goosebumps thinking about that. Us four at Levi's watching a game, that you can't take that away. But go back to the playoffs. I was still confident at halftime. I had the text messages. I did say Andy a message, and I called the turnover. I did say it was going to be a pick six, to be fair, but the emotional roller coaster that we went on that night. And then I can't even remember doing the pod the next day. Or was it the day after we had to do the pod? Because I think we had to let Lee get his voice back. Anyone wants to know the emotions of Lee Gowland and Andrew, just go to our YouTube channel, just go to the short section and just look at Lee walking away from the box at like 4:30 in the morning. He gets his phone out and he's like, all right, faithful. It's like...
Yeah, I mean, we used to go through up and down during the season, and I think we didn't, pretty much, as you said, Gareth, that season was pretty dominant, and we were losing. It was kind of like, and then we just basically packaged it all and just dropped it on the Lions game. It was a bit too much, but yeah, it was good times. You know, again, you have to be in it to win it, and if you're not in it, you're just watching two teams playing football, and you like football, so you watch it, but it's not the same. And it's a shame we lost the Super Bowl, but also it's great that we got there, and we got a good team, and we can do it again. So
I think after that comeback win, that's why we all believed, when the ball's bouncing off a defender's face mask and Ayuk's catching it, you start to think the luck's on our side. Not only have you got the best team in the NFL, but like Lee said, against the Packers, Shanahan destroyed that narrative that he can't winning the fourth quarter. We 24-7 down at halftime or something against the Lions. Like Lee said, the footage from the box was like, oh my God, how are you going to pick everyone up? And I'm glad you mentioned Matt McDonald, Lee, because hold that thought, because we need to mention his name in the Super Bowl talk. I know we did the review show, but that lad, he started celebrating CMC's touchdown in the Super Bowl before any of us saw it, and there's video footage out there. Just shows what it's like to be at a meetup. He leaps to his, when Jennings passes the ball, Matt's off down the front, and then we all erupt after that. He's probably been celebrating for 30 seconds. He obviously called it, but yeah, it was a great season, and I'm already looking forward to the next one, and I'm already looking forward to planning the next meetup. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks gives you a bit more perspective, doesn't it? Get away from the disappointment of that game. And it can't take away what was a great season for the team, great season for a number of players, and I think a great season for a lot of us in fans in the UK. Like you say, we follow sport for some of the memories, for the emotional moments you can get to share with friends, and the fact that there will be games, I think, from this season that we will still be talking about at some point in the distant future. I think there were games and there were wins and performances that will are part of the team's history now, and it's great to be on a team that's making the kind of history you want to be making, and not some of the history that perhaps we've been making in the middle part of the 2010s, shall we say, which again seemed like a long time ago now. Some of the fan experiences we were having at that time, let's just say that. I think we've covered the season by games. What we always do at the beginning of the season is we have a look at the roster and how we think the roster was going to perform, and we also do our score bold predictions, which we have just put up on the screen for those of you who are getting the joy of watching us as well.
I missed on all of mine. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we didn't show ourselves in glory. So any you particularly like to pick up there from any of your predictions, lads? Anything you're particularly proud of?
I mean, I'm proud of mine. I think if it wasn't for injuries, the Clelin Farrell one might have been. He was close.
You're proud of yours. You missed on them all.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I'm trying to read them. Tiny.
I'm not far off, though. I'm not far off. If you look at it, I'm really not far off at all.
I love Jair Brown. That he's missed them all. And he's like, I'm not far off. Go on, Nadia.
Well, look, Jair Brown took a fungus spot. I mean, obviously, it was due to injury. It wasn't because of his play. And he had two picks. I mean, I know one of them was in a playoff, so it doesn't count. But and then the free player over 1K, Yeah. It's not, I'm not far off that.
You're not. You weren't.
And then Clelin Ferrell had more side than Javon Hargrave. And I don't know if the ratio was right, but. And then, well, yeah, Drake Jackson was. Oops. But, you know. And then the kickoff punt return. I mean, to be fair, that's something we need to talk about because that's, in terms of season review, is something that we really need to get better at, I think. And that I'm looking forward to see if we can do that next season. Because I cannot remember the last punt or kickoff return touchdown we have scored. It's been a long time.
I think it was Richie James. That's how long ago it was.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, you know what? So I got a hit on one of my predictions, which
you
was 2,000 all-purpose yards from McCaffrey. But I'd have been more proud had Shanahan not walked on the field and negated that Ambry Thomas pick six. Because I would have gotten a third of that prediction.
Yeah,
I'd have had a third of
that
prediction. And to be honest, that was a bold prediction at the start of the season because Ambry Thomas wasn't the starting cornerback.
That's true.
To predict three pick sixes, what was bold, and had one, I'd have been quite happy with that, to be fair.
See how far his lead is compared to mine. I was very close to hitting, but defense scored 73 sacks. I think we had 34. Yeah, not even close. Yeah. Seven touchdowns against the Giants.
Yeah, Tabor Pepper was close to making the Pro Bowl.
He was actually.
He should have.
True.
He's been robbed there, I think.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Yeah.
What did you hit on, Paul?
What can I say? I win the prediction league. I hit on three of my predictions. I should have accessed Rowland's Paddy Power account. Look at that one. George Kittle outscores Kelsey in both fantasy football points and touchdowns. How much would I have got on that at the start of the season?
Actually, that's a good one. And the Armstead sack is very good as well.
But the one I'm most proud of is Gareth. I called a show where you don't get interrupted. How on earth did we hit that?
I don't believe that's happened.
I don't believe that's happened.
I don't believe that's happened.
I don't think your Armstead one is right there. It's got a hit next to it, but he didn't get 11 to 16 sacks.
The spreadsheet.
Did
no, well, I know you didn't. I think.
I'm going to have a look now. I'm going to have a look. I'm going to double check.
He had five before week 18.
You keep talking. I'll find it.
Before we fact check it, we'll just say it's right, Gareth. But all jokes aside, we do go bald at the start of the year, so it's always nice to see them. But that Ambry Thomas one, Lee, that was one of my most confusing moments of watching football because we were celebrating, then we weren't celebrating.
Yes.
Then I was like, "What's happened?" And then you see Shanahan on the pitch, and you're like, "Yeah, that's coming back." But
Armstead, that's five sack this season. So
yeah.
Yeah, only two hits, but two good ones. Although the last one, I'm still skeptical about.
If it's true, it's balls.
I think all of mine were misses. Five interceptions.
I mean, yours are.
Diomedor Lenore didn't quite get that. I think he got two. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
I thought the 80-yard Trent Williams touchdown was a stretch. I am prepared to accept that was going to be a bit of a stretch. Disappointed no defensive touchdowns for Javon Hargrave.
That's
true. I had him cutting down as two TDs. It's a lot for a big man, but
I mean, we've scored one defensive touchdown this season. Yeah. So,
and I did say we'd have a good beatdown of the Rams and Cardinals by an average of 30-10 in all four games. We weren't too bad on the scoring side of that. We let too many points in. I had the defense with 11 scoring TDs to take the league record, and we got one. And no 50 burgers. And I predicted
It would have been the Cowboys and the Eagles. So, to be pedantic, not the Bucks and Jets.
And one of the games, I think one of the playoff games, we came back and I got very excited. And I said, well documented twice in a row. Because the look on Lee's face, I knew at that point that I'd spoilt my own bold prediction because Lee was determined
I stopped 4-3 apparently.
I said two in a row, Nadji, because I could see the look of delight on his face, but it was worth it. I'll still do it again. I'll have to come up with a new one for next year, Gareth.
Yeah, we'll have to I've got an idea about this which I will tell everybody. We'll keep it for next year. Surprises. I've got an idea.
So to wrap it up, we do sometimes look at the the team and the team performance in by position group. I think as we're coming to the end, maybe just say, was there a position group that you felt underwhelmed this year that was
the
not...
Running backs. Yeah, not good enough.
Yeah.
Because we should...
CMC and nothing.
Yeah, but truly, yeah, we should have seen a lot more of Jordan Mason and either of them, really. I don't think Mitchell had a good season. It's so-so. But I would have just liked to see Mason a lot more. And I'm hoping this happens next season. And it gets more involved and we can... Because, when those losses, basically teams stop CMC and then we really couldn't do anything else. And I would like to see an extra run wrinkle with potentially Jordan Mason if he can step up to the challenge. That would be nice to see. D-line wasn't good enough, even though we were much better on paper. Take it away, Lee.
Yeah, completely agree. D-line for me was the most underwhelming of the season. Big hopes going into the start of the season after we picked up Hargrave. You get halfway through the season and we've just traded for Chase Young. You think that's it. The second half of the season, we're just going to absolutely explode. We didn't, and we know why. It was the way Wilkes was using the defensive line. So they were a disappointment for me. I would imagine there's a lot of people sat listening to this, waiting for one of us to save the O-line. And to me, the O-line, I thought they were reasonably good. Colton McKivitt, it's his very first season playing right tackle. In pre-season, he was awful. Awful. And we all had our concerns. As it turned out, Spencer Burford probably was the weak link in the whole offensive line, which is quite surprising considering what his rookie season was like. Because he was unbelievable his rookie season, and we thought we had a diamond in the rough.
I think we did miss McGlinchey. I know it's bold statement.
Oh, I think we did.
I think we didn't miss McGlinchey a lot. He was actually better than... if he was the scapegoat for most of our issues on O-line, and having the experience that he had was instrumental in making Burford better. And with McKivitz not being as good yet, because I think he can, it showed, yeah. But, it doesn't mean he's not going to be there next season and he can improve, and we'll see. It's a subject for the off-season, definitely.
Anything for you, Paul?
I'm not going to repeat. Defensive line is the same, but special teams, chaps, still not great. Yeah. And it cost us in the big one. So yeah. I'd like to see some changes there. But like what Lee and Najib said, Gareth, the defensive line wasn't good enough. Plain and simple. I was going to wind Najib and say the quarterback room, but we haven't got enough time to go down that rabbit hole. So
we should sign Justin. You know this.
biggest disappointment for me. Obviously, Shanahan and Lynch have set out their stall that we invest all this money in a D-line. We expect it to be dominant this season. It wasn't. And perhaps there's warning signs there when we pick up Randy Gregory early in the season and Chase Young to top on to Javon Hargrave. I mean, still not better. And D'Amico's group of sort of misfits and discards and veterans was overall a better performing unit. I won't call out the O-line because I think we said that they were going to be the weakest unit at the start of the season. I do think it is an area where we need to invest some resources where we haven't previously. Like you say, I'm not going to call out players for being bad, but I think if you want to go and win it all, we need some players who are better than what we have on the line. But I think that's drifting into off-season talk, which there's plenty of off-season for that talk. Any final thoughts on the season? I think we're going to look at some stuff at the forthcoming live shows, including some things about perhaps favourite scores, favourite touchdowns, favourite plays, favourite games, that sort of thing. We'll do that for some live content. But any particular memory for the season? I think I'll be with Paul on this one. I think just the whole goldmine experience being there with people I generally only know from Facebook comments, and suddenly you're with them at a game, watching us beat down the Bucks. That's got to be the moment for me.
Yeah, for me, it's more of a us thing as a UK faithful. I think the group has really took a big leap up this year, and in the best possible way as well. I think we're doing things right, and we keep on getting better and better, which I didn't think we could. And it's really nice to see everybody involved. And I mean, the gold line is just a symptom. I think the gold mine is a symptom of the group getting so much traction, so much better, and you guys are there really putting the work to support the Niners and showing your faith. And it's just amazing to be able to do what we do. And we could ultimately, we don't have to, we could all just be watching games on by ourselves and just moan on Facebook to our friends that don't care. And we don't do that. We took the effort and the time to share it all together. And it's made this community, which I think is amazing. And it allows us to do meetings for the Super Bowl and all that, which is so cool. And yeah, so thank you all, because yeah, we're not done. We're going to get better and it's going to be amazing. Yeah.
I've got to more say before, Lee yeah. gives his thoughts. The start of the season, chaps, if I'd said we'd have 1,000 subscribers by the Super Bowl on yeah. YouTube, I wouldn't have believed you. And like you said, we do this because crazy. We enjoy it. It's helped my understanding of the game grow. I'm not going to lie, the lives after the Super Bowl have been hard. And I never thought I'd say that because I love doing podcasts. But the one with Ted in particular, I really struggled on that one. And it was good that I had Ted there because he was able to bring his energy. And talking to him, Nadji, about how he watched the Super Bowl helped me process my emotions. But Lee's come back because I missed him the other week. It was weird doing the show without Lee. And the new format,
I'll be on one
like
soon.
You said. Which,
I'll be on
yeah,
one soon.
Going to get you on, Nadji. Gareth's been on. And the fact that I think we are evolving as a community, the content we're putting out there. And yeah, the gold mine will always live long in the memory. But even the Super Bowl meetup in Leeds, me and you, Nadji, yeah. we greeted everybody who walked through those doors. Everyone smiled on their face, a fist bump. I still get blown away, chaps, by people coming over, know who we are, thank us for the content we put out there, and stand and have a chat with us. And you think, I don't know your name. How? You can't remember everyone's name. And then again, after the game, the community, the spirit, we're all disappointed. We're not here to gatekeep. And like you said, Lee, you can criticise the team, you can criticise Shanahan, but we do it in such a welcoming space, and I can't wait to see us getting bigger and bigger. What did you say, Nadji? 1 million YouTube subscribers we need now?
Yeah, we can do that. I'm sure we can do that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about 1 million, man.
Yeah, I tell you what, dude, that's not the attitude. Come on.
I think as well as the group, the way we create content has changed as well.
Yeah.
We're no longer just talking about game reviews or game previews. We're now actually looking at the wider world of football. I mean, the discussion that we had last week about whether or not the Super Bowl should be permanently in Vegas, it's not the type of thing that you would have expected a fan group to be talking about. And I think starting to talk about topics like that, it does pique the interest and get you asking questions yourself. So you go off and you research this type of stuff, and lo and behold, some of the stuff that you find out is quite surprising. The NFL is definitely a money-making vehicle, and it'll continue to be that way. So it's easy now to understand where the decisions are coming from, why they're made. It's all about the money. It's all about the money, but it doesn't make the game any less enjoyable.
No.
And one
last thing. A good product.
to those who still think that this is rigged, why watch it? Why would you watch it if you think this is rigged? What does that say about you?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Well, I mean, those writers are very good. That's why, you know.
What else? That's why I watch it. For me, Nadji, as Kayleigh is still determined that she's a Niners fan, she's going to watch the game, she's going to buy a jersey, she's going to come to the meetup. So
that's a
little bit.
I mean, this is.
I already had Jasmine there, Nadji. She always does.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is what it's all about.
Football, so, yeah, that's
what it's all about. My daughter requested that the poster we had at the party, it's in her bedroom. She wanted it, it's above her bed. I'm, you know, mission accomplished. We got one more fan. And, that's, you know, I can't wait to share games with her and all that. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the community, it's easy with my daughter. She's my daughter. Of course, she'll like football. But all you guys, I enjoy spending time talking Niners with everyone, and it's cool that you receive it, and it's cool that we do it. So,
got one more important public service announcement. Wayne Humphrey stop buying jerseys. Because every time you buy a jersey, you're cursed. I don't know if you've seen. Is Debo
he's definitely
Samuel's
wearing number
arrived?
One. Yeah.
And then the next day, Debo Samuel tweets out number one. Wayne's like, why? So I mean, no more jerseys, Wayne.
He was a GHK special, so it's all good. It's all good. Anyway, just scrape the nine off. You'll be all right.
That's it. I think the season's done. I think we've covered it all, but yeah, lots to look forward to. Football never stops, does it? And we've got a first round pick this year, free agency, a big jump in the salary cap. Thank you, Swifties. All that money coming in, that means we can keep some players. So lots to talk about, but I think we'll probably call it there. Shall we? We're back in the swing of it.
Thanks
for joining me, lads. It's been, it's been good to talk Niners football. And good to feel a little bit positive.
What a great season.
It's always looking forward. It's a great season.
Great season.
Not a great end, but a great season. And and still, we're still in the middle of the team we've got with the coaching staff. Brock's still on a very, very cheap deal.
That's the beginning.
We've got most of this team that we've enjoyed is going to be back next year. Certainly a lot of the important parts of it. So we get to do it all again. So thank you, lads. And thank you to everyone who listens and watches the show. And thanks for staying with us all season. If you haven't done any liking and subscribing, you should, to make sure you keep up with everything that we do in the off season. Because we do know on things like Facebook, we can start disappearing off your news feed at this time of year, just because obviously, without games, the general interaction starts to drop in the group. So if you want to keep track of us, make sure you follow us closely. We will be back with some more shows soon, and I think there will be a live this week where I think we'll look at some more highlights of the season, won't we? Some good plays, some good scores, some good moments.
Good idea. Yeah, get your moments queued up for the live on Wednesday. Tell us what your favorite pass, your favorite touchdown, your favorite defensive play, whatever favorite moment.
You need to stay tuned because we've got a giveaway. Lee reminded me we've got two.
Oh, yeah, we do have a giveaway.
Joe Staley bobbleheads.
The bobblehead. Oh, yeah, we've got 1,000.
A brand new red 49ers cap to give away. So, giveaway central. We've got 3 prizes, people.
Oh, we'll have to think of a way of doing it.
I've got some thoughts about how to do that. Yeah, I've got some thoughts about how to do that on the live.
We'll all look forward to that then. So, another off-season to look forward to. Only another 7 months until we've got Niners football back. I'm sure it'll go quickly when we're all together and listening
I'm excited about next week, Gareth.
Yeah.
I'm excited about next week.
We've got a first-round pick.
Well.
Yeah.
Right, that's it. I think that's all to say. Go Niners.
Go Niners. Go Niners.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. We love the San Francisco 49ers deep in the heart. Like Joe Montana in the corner, deep card. Garrison Hurst, Stiff Farm going 99. Don't get it twisted, one and all with prime time. John Taylor, Jerry Rice down the side.